All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to the BBS TNT News Hour. This is your host, Don Newsome. Again, it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be here. It kind of feels like a job, this TNT Hour. Everything I do, I love. But when I have to do an hour's worth of radio, it feels like I'm going to work. You know, I don't feel like I'm working at any time except when I'm on the air. It feels like I'm having to go to work. So, that's because I love talking to the audience. But again, I don't keep much up on current news anymore. You know, it's all bad. So I don't like to infiltrate my mind because I get it from everybody, from all angles, from email. So sometimes when you get to overload and things are so bad and you look around, you know your military is killing you. You know that they're creating chemtrails. People are identifying the U.S. bases that are putting it out. The airline industry knows it's a project. They call it Cloverleaf. And it's something that they're outfitting on regular airliners as well and putting these aerosols out and, barium salts and so on. And they're really screwing with you, okay? They're killing you, murderous bastards. So we have to deal with that, and sometimes it's a little overwhelming. So I sit back and I just kind of regroup and take a breather. And that's what I've been doing lately, so if you're counting on me for any up-to-date news, forget it. Because today, we actually have another exciting program for you. And that's because we have my twin brother, Doug Newsome, here.
Howdy, everyone.
Doug, it's a pleasure. Thank you for coming into the program, especially when I have nothing to say.
Yeah, well, I hope my phone lasts. I don't know if it'll last very long, so if we cut out in the middle of this, it's only because the phone has no battery, which I forgot to tell you prior.
You have no battery.
Well, I don't know how much it's going to last, let's put it that way. I was on some pretty long
calls. You sound tired. You sound like you're tired.
Oh, no. I've been going through just 3 days of thoughts, you know, just like you have. A little bit overwhelmed for some reason this past 3 or 4 days, maybe a little bit. It's just been the kind of a crazy atmosphere in my brain. And and I think... You know, I had to take a step back to just not hear about this so much bad news. You know, wanting to do something about it means you have to be informed. But oftentimes when you get informed and you put yourself in the mire and the muck, it tangles up the insides a lot. And I wish that wasn't the case. You know, you wish you could just stand above it all and still be able to witness it and not be affected by it, but it's pretty
hard.
Well,
you can, but again, you got to know your limits. I mean, when you're bullshit in, is going to be reflected on the outside. I mean, if you're constantly, you know, bringing that crap in and not bringing anything else in to balance it, then you're getting a misperception. You're getting one side of the equation.
On many levels, we feel so much compassion for the plight and the suffering of the people around us. And I think it really affects us deeply. That suffering that you see and the constant barrage of bad news where you know it may not affect your own life, but affects the lives of others. And that's really why we're here, is to affect the lives of others positively. I guess the question is can you be in a status of so much love that it's actually more powerful than compassion? And is love more powerful than compassion?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Like, if you're the guy who's a pacifist or somebody who thinks love's going to win out in the end no matter what, you're going to stand there in front of the machine gun and truly, profoundly believe that, will it work? That's really the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I got to tell you, maybe on levels it would work unless the guy pulled the trigger, you know. Love is the most powerful commodity. It's all there is. It's just tapping into it. And I think, does it win out in the end every time? Yeah, absolutely. Now, the things that we go through are pretty much our own lives and working together to create a betterment, I think, for this entire planet. It's not just us.
Well, it's funny. If I had the capability of affecting people in two ways, and one way was to get them informed.
Right.
And the other way was to empower them through, let's say, spiritual information, meditating, that understanding.
Right.
I would do the latter and not the former because I truly believe knowledge is not the key. Knowledge, in fact, I would throw this out to everybody.
I would
out
agree there. With you completely.
Knowledge,
I absolutely
yeah.
agree with you. Thank you, thank you. I believe you're correct. Knowledge is not the key to. I mean,
any,
it's a key.
What
but
is
it's
knowledge
a,
anyway?
It's a tool.
Do you want to be? Hey, we can have. Or you can all have all the knowledge you want. We can just be another computer.
Or another savant.
Yeah, it doesn't. That doesn't,
you know, again, having all the information doesn't mean you know what to bloody well do with it. Okay.
Hmm.
Having all the information isn't the key, or you would have came here with it all.
That's right.
But, you know,
but we have to affect, I think not we have to, but we desire to affect people on two fronts. One, with information, and two, with them, you know, on the dirt and, that's out there, and two, on the spiritual side, because I think some people don't reach the spiritual understanding, so you try to affect them on another way. And some people don't, you know, reach that lower understanding, and you know that there really is situations out there that are wrong. And we try to appeal to people from one end of the spectrum to the other, because I think that motivates change. Not everybody's going to be looking for the Jesus in us all and just want to be happy all the time. It's just that's not for everybody.
I agree. You know, as we march down this. Trek. I can't help, and I've stated this on the air, Doug, I've stated it to everybody, stating it for a very long time. Somehow, that this year, and I believe it, I think there's going to be a major clash of energies, and I don't know what that portends of, what that ultimately will mean, but I somehow see that this year, yep, even though we don't have much left of it, I think this year is going to bring a humdinger of energies, a clash of energies, and
I think that's just going to continue the clash.
No,
of
I think it's going to be radical.
It is radical right now.
Oh, agreed. But I think it's going to be radically obvious, profoundly.
Well, what you're saying is there's going to be more people waking up to the situation worldwide.
I think sometime this year, by the end of this year, people will say, yep, it's going in another direction and we win and we've always won and they somehow knew it and everything they realize is going to get better. That's what I think's coming. What's going to make that
you know,
case? I do not know.
I truly believe this is necessary. It's funny. It's almost like, how can you understand the value of liberty if somebody doesn't try to take that liberty away from you?
No.
Just hold out. You almost get complacent, and then you allow the liberties to be eroded, not realizing you should be fighting for them because they are so valuable. Almost a complacency that we don't look at things on some level because, you know, we have so much. We have so much. I mean, who here wants to? I don't drive for 5 years. How many people would be willing to say, I'm not going to use gasoline because it pollutes the earth? Well, I can't because of my job. I can't because we never even try to make steps in the other direction where we say no to these things.
I don't even try.
Well, you do, and we do. But most people, they
absolutely.
give me something smaller, faster, more efficient. They can do my job better, like the cellular.
Wait, you have a caller, but go ahead, Doug.
You know, try this out. There's a little video I saw on YouTube. Put three cellulars together and put some popcorn in the middle, and then turn your cellulars on. Have somebody dial in all three cellulars.
It'll
and
pop.
And then point them together. Yeah, and in the center where all the cellulars are pointing, have some pop kernels. They'll pop in seconds, faster than the microwave. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that these waves that we're driving into our brains is causing us a problem. But why do we accept that? Because it's easy. It makes life more efficient. And the more we desire that, you know, to become...
What you're saying is the easier it gets for us, the worse it'll be. I don't believe that a bit. Technology is here and can make life a million times better.
I'm not
grander,
saying that.
Cleaner.
I'm saying what technology does is makes people more complacent.
It allows them to focus on other areas of their expanding experience. I think it's another wave. It's another tool to allow us to expand into other areas of our life that we want to grow and experience in.
Well, if I had my druthers, I'd rather be able to experience nature. You know, I'd rather be able to go out there and see the trees and the wildlife. And know that it exists around me. That's where I would rather. It's not that everybody. You know, when I was younger, I used to say,
I would rather live 500 years in the future than 500 years in the past. That was always my mindset.
Mine too.
Right?
Yep.
But now if somebody were to ask me that question, I'd seriously have to consider the answer.
I wouldn't consider it a bit. I'd say the best place to be is right here, right now.
Okay, granted. Granted. But I really, on some level, there's a part of me that thinks there's so many of these ways, these cultures, like cultures that used to barter exchange and they might sell
well,
shells.
Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, welcome to the program.
Hello, it's Rico.
Rico, pleasure. Hey, you were on. Thank you for calling in again. It's a pleasure.
I'm always compelled to call you guys. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I have read your book many, many, many times, and I can identify with so many parts of it. I mean, you guys are awesome.
Our book.
Thank you.
Oh, you mean the Bible to Self-Awareness?
Absolutely. I have a link to your site on my website, and I'm just pointing everybody to it.
It's funny.
Every time I read that, I get I don't feel guilty, but I realize that I feel like a hypocrite because I wrote so much in such a weird experiential time in my life.
Yeah.
And yet I look at it now and some of it I don't even understand anymore.
By reading this, I thought, seriously guys, I thought I was going nuts. And I started reading your book and I had to run in to tell I had to tell him, I said, hey, listen to this, read this. This is nuts, but this is what I've been telling you for the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I literally found myself in your book. And I've used that. I helped somebody this morning who called me from Boston. And I said, man, you got to go to this website. And I tell you what, I said, I'm going to save you the time. I'm going to add this link to my website. Go to my website. You've been there. Download this thing and read it. And I said, this will give you a lot of the answers that you're asking me this morning.
Wow. Rico, wow. That's why what we love to hear.
That makes me feel so good.
Wow.
Thank you.
I should actually go back and read it again because every time I read it, I don't, it's not like I wrote it. I mean, I did. I look at it and I go, I didn't write this.
No,
and
you're inspired,
it's something, yeah, I just, it's like I read it. And every time I read it, it's like I'm reading something new.
For the first time. Well, that's what enlightenment is, an experience. That it comes to you, great insight, and then later on, just like anything, you come down from that period of enlightenment. There is no artist that can paint on a canvas 24/7 for all of his life without going through ups and downs.
And why would he want to?
Right. And those downswings, sometimes we kind of, get focused in our lives and we don't live the material.
Look, we all love roller coasters. We do. Or none of us would be on this planet.
Yeah, true.
Well, you gentlemen, you both mentioned something a few minutes ago. And of course, I got caught in the time delay when I picked up the phone. I totally lost track of what you guys were saying. But I do have this. I was reaching out, and when I found you guys, I was on the balls of my butt, man, I got to tell you. And I was saying, there's got to be an answer out there. So I started looking it up, and it was literally by chance. I had to dig deep. I actually had to go to the Ultra Deep website to find you guys. Because you're not promoted. And when I did, it was like, wow, how did I miss this? And, you were saying something not too long ago about
technology
and an awakening. And I think you guys are, you're the grassroots of what this awakening thing is all about.
Yeah.
And we're also talking about technology and the way that it affects our lives. And, it's funny. It was Martin Luther King who said, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant. And I think that
is so profound.
I mean, that's exactly what you guys were talking about.
It is profound. I think of it this way. Everybody, even though we live in a world of polarity, up, down, big, small, light, you can take a dark room and a lit match and walk into a dark room and the dark will vanish. But try to take dark into a light room. The dark can't affect the light. You can't take a match with dark light and go in. So even though everything seems to have its polar opposite, is dark really the opposite of light? And you must see just by simply virtue that the light is more powerful than the dark. To me, that always made a lot of logical sense in my mind to know that energy, that property of light, is vastly superior than the energy of dark.
Well, to me, it's a matter of unity and integrity, and because we're all one, that would mean to me that we love ourselves and unconditionally and the greater parts of ourselves. So somehow that's the quality. That's the real flavor.
Even the dark part of ourselves.
Even
every
the
atom,
dark part of ourselves.
99.999999% of the volume in an atom is dark mass, just like 99.99 of the percent of everything out there in the stratosphere is dark mass. So in truth, it is a part of us.
I agree. One of my main prayers is always that we never get cheated, that we get infinite chances, that everybody, even the Bushes of the world, the Cheneys, the Stalins, or whoever you want to talk about, that they, because if they don't get an infinite chance to see the highest expression that they can attain, if they don't get it, I don't get it.
That's true enough.
And
no,
that,
Christianity itself, Paul. You know, Paul was the great doubter.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. It has to be, we're either all special or nobody's special. We all get to have our cake and eat it too, or nobody gets the cake.
Well, you know, guys, I want to talk to both of you, I mean, more fully, I mean, off the air, of course. I want to talk about going further and actually, you know, incorporating my own life into your radio.
I would like that very much, Rico.
You have no idea how much hypnosis and spiritualism has changed my life and that of all the people around me. I mean, everybody that I talk to, I introduce now, of course, to BBS Radio.
Thank
but
you.
Apart from that, you know, it's a basic understanding of hypnosis and things like that, you know, that bring you closer to yourself so that you can get closer to others.
I think self-hypnosis and meditation are key. I think they are.
I think you have to
undo a lot of what's been done to you and your mind and your body, and you can do that successfully doing meditation, prayer, and hypnosis. Absolutely.
And meditation isn't...
Even A Course in Miracles,
you know what,
and others recommend some form of retraining of the mind, from what I gather. Many of the gurus emphasize that.
Even today, you know, up through, I think, really into present, the master gurus, the people that did the meditation, they felt that, and it saddens me a little bit.
Hello, Leslie.
It saddens me a little bit, Rico, because they didn't bring it out to a common understanding. They kind of made it elusive, mystical.
Sure.
And not if it wasn't elusive or mystical, it took 20 or 30 years to attain an enlightened status.
Well, look what the term guru gives people. I mean, the immediate image that comes to your mind is this person who's, you know, probably disheveled.
Right.
A lesser being, you know, and kind of like trying to stand out in the crowd in his light.
Yeah.
And they're making him look like a total idiot on face value.
Yeah.
They have for eons, it seems.
Yeah.
But today this information's coming out, and you know, there is no right method. I kid you not. There are so many people that reach levels of enlightenment, you know, that you hear about these profound experiences people have, and they're all slightly, you know, they have some commonalities, but they're all slightly different. And I think they're different and unique to the individual. So you don't need to spend, some people might say, oh, well, you got to spend 2 hours of meditation a day, or you got to meditate about nothing. I totally disagree. If you're sitting there and you're working out on a workbench and you're doing some muscle building, there's your meditation. But quiet the mind and relax into it maybe a little bit, and think of it a little different way. Use it as a form of a meditation. When you're jogging, when you're running, same thing. When you're working with your hands out in the fields, that's a form of connecting, a meditative connectedness to the earth. So there isn't a right way. There's infinite number of ways. Just find something that brings you joy and peace and do it.
Yeah, lots of it.
Lots of it.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to really find that meditative space in their life, and they can do it even when things are at their most hectic.
In fact, that's the
funnest time to do it, believe
Here's
it or not.
The key, the only key, I believe, to meditation that must be this way along all lines, you know, no matter how you do it, you gotta believe, number one, that you're connecting with something higher than yourself, okay? Or yourself at your most high, let's put it that way. But you're reaching out to that aspect within yourself that you find more loving, or whatever capacity that's on a higher virtue, And that's what you try to connect with, whether it be just by being and not thinking, or integrating by becoming one with millions of ways of meditating. But that's really the key. But, and you got to believe there's something more in yourself, within yourself, that has a high point, and you go there. That, no matter whether you're weightlifting or running or just being silent in lotus position. But
yep.
I think that's the key.
We're talking on a radio station.
Yeah.
I mean, Don introduced himself saying this morning that he wasn't feeling it. It felt like it was a job. You know, I look at this like this. I say, wow, this is awesome. I mean, who wouldn't give their everything for a job like you, Don?
You know, see, I love my job, but I love to be behind the scenes, talking with these people. You know, a lot of people have questions, and they want something in their life that's going to be rock solid, that is not going to waver and is always going to be there in the light with their for their questions, and it might not give them the answers, but it's going to show them a deeper answer, and that answer is somebody with the time, the compassion, the love, and hopefully the wisdom, which I don't have, but that's what I try to give, and I get the opportunity to do that always.
I disagree with you. Have you ever watched a movie called The Peaceful Warrior?
I have. In fact, he was on our network when he came out with it before.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then you know what he says, where he says, wisdom is doing.
Wisdom is in the doing. I would have to agree. Absolutely. You don't gain the power unless you're putting your knowledge to the test, and gaining something from it, because that really
is... Well, the
is
doing the, is the experiencing. The experiencing part of it.
Right.
You can have right thought, and thought, yes, it does manifest. Energy is, energy moves and starts to bound together to create certain, you know, shapes and forms that later solidify. I truly believe this, but I think the experience side of the doing side of it is the experiencing of it. And I don't think a person can be wise just having one or the other. I think you have to have thought and then experience of it.
And then the experience, well, it's experiential, isn't it? It's transitory, it's circular, it's it's a vibrational spectrum, isn't it?
Even on the other end, you think when we die, we still don't experience? I think experience, we continue to act and do. Even when we cross over or live in some other manner.
I agree.
Always experience is a part of that, I believe, until maybe experience isn't necessary. But what is that? When you reach that level where nothing is necessary, then maybe there's nowhere else. There must be that point. Because on a point on a line.
What do you think, Rico?
Well, I'm thinking that something is always necessary, whether it be air, food, whatever. I mean,
but ultimately, when you do become one back with the greatest of all, what happens then?
We join energies.
We join energy.
Do it again.
I like this, Rico. What's your website, Rico?
I'm sorry?
What's your website, just for our audience, so that they know your website address?
CamachoHypnosis.com.
Camacho, C-A-M-A-C-H-O?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
CamachoHypnosis.com. All right.
You'll see a big splash on the left-hand side about BBS Radio.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you. You know, I'll tell you, I appreciate your comments and especially about our book. You know, I truly do. I'm just so tickled that it helps people gain another understanding of who they are and what maybe it helps make sense of things.
I've always thought about taking that book, that material, and putting it together in a book, and then really bringing it out to the masses, or maybe
You really should. I've got, like I said, I have
a downloadable book or PDF, or audio book.
What was that? You
have a PDF. It isn't a PDF.
Is it?
Well,
am I mistaken, or did I convert it to a PDF? I'm sorry. I can't honestly say at the moment, but
no, that's okay. Great.
But I do have the PDF version available on my website.
Oh, great! Give it to everybody you know.
I'm not trying to plug my own website. That's the least of my concerns.
No, that's fantastic. Thank you. You know, the thing is, it reminds me, I got to go back and read it, because it'll teach me something every time, especially now, because it's been so long, and I probably need it more than most out there.
I often think, you know, it's I look at myself, I do this, you know, it hasn't been long since this whole awakening period for me. You know, I used to always dream about the future. I was always in the future, the future, the future. So is my brother. He can attest to this. But now, you know, sometimes when people ask me, where do you see yourself in the future, I honestly go blank.
I do, too. Absolutely
I go blank because I don't really think along those sorts of terms anymore. I think in terms of where I am right now and what I'm doing in the moment. But, you know, if I did, now I'm starting to once again, you know, because you go through these phases, ups and downs, and I've often thought it would sure be wonderful if there was a place for me. Who would I be? Who would I be? Where do I see myself? You know, when I look into that dark hole, when I go into my meditation, I visualize a picture of myself. And by the way, I've done this forever, and I couldn't see anything for a while because I just wasn't concentrating on myself. Now I look at a person who is like a Tony Robbins of spiritual information that can maybe appeal to the media in such a way as to get this information out there, whether it's verbally or through the written material, because I really think it's important. And I see BBS Radio moving into, you know, it has a studio in Paradise, a nice one, which you and I are going to build, Don, where we're creating documentaries where we connect with everybody in the spiritual world. So let's start creating a center for these productions and then moving towards cable networks and driving this material forward. This is where I see the future.
Wow. You guys are, I'm telling you, you're making my mouth water.
Wouldn't it
tell you? This is awesome. I think this is exactly...
Well, we're already going to be putting part of that together here very soon.
Yeah.
Right now.
We're going to sell our second home, and we're going to put together a little area there in Paradise, and we're going to start...
It's more of a compound, correct?
Yeah.
It's going to be a compound we're going to put together, and we, you know, see, people always want to build something to share with the world and some healing type structures and where you bring people together and they get different modalities of healing. That's always been my dream, to bring all forms of culture, all forms of remedies, all forms of knowledge, all forms of wisdom in whatever genre you're trying to choose, and giving a people a full awareness of it, or the full flavor of it, instead of just a piece here, a piece there, a piece here, because the pieces can be controlled, and we're seeing that today. So yeah, my dream is to build some form of a very large compound, just like David Koresh.
Well,
that's right, you heard it here first, folks, on BBS.
Oh my gosh, oh my god, just like, I don't even like those.
I'm joking,
terms,
I'm joking.
Through my image.
Just like him.
You kind of popped my vision.
No, but you know, a compound of higher learning.
Yeah, a compound of higher learning,
right.
where freedom and liberty and independent thought are encouraged.
Right.
Where spiritual matter, higher matter is encouraged. A center where this information can be gathered, accumulated, and spread.
And disseminated.
Yes.
You got it. It needs to be that way, because you're getting too many media groups, too much old money now trying to stranglehold the internet. And there has to be ways for companies out there to safeguard this information, continue to compile it, and bring it out as often as needed.
Well, what a wonderful world. Think
if
of this.
If you do this right and you make this into a totally organic, a totally, you know, solar, totally independent of any other entities.
Oh, absolutely.
You can capture upon the news broadcast. I mean, they'll want to see what your guys are doing.
We even have a running creek that has the water that makes it sustainable that way. So
yeah, all we'd really need is to put the power, solar probably be best at this point.
Yeah, sure. Power is a...
But if you think about it, I mean, if you can draw enough attention to this thing and get international attention, start off with BBC or, you know, PBS or any of these that have these things already in place. I mean, they've already got a lot of programs about this.
Indeed they do. One of the quickest ways to really get information out there, and this is something that Don and I have discussed, and we will, you know, we brought on board about three people or four people that work with BBS Radio out of Don's office in and out now, and we're really growing.
There's five full-time now. Well, four, almost five full-time. One's kind of like more part-time.
We don't take one penny.
Donald and I take not one red cent from BBS Radio.
None sellers.
It goes
and
to
not
everybody
many
else. And that's how we, you know, I give everything up to help the world. I don't care what it is. And that this is where the money goes. But, you know, ultimately we're going to need maybe one or two more people to continue to do programming and information dissemination. But I think a public relations firm working on BBS Radio's behalf, Don and I have built other companies, many, many, many big companies in the past. So one of the ways to do that is to getting a good PR firm, let's say a good Manhattan PR firm, a New York PR firm, that goes out there and really starts driving your information to all the forms of media.
Yeah, we don't need to. Yeah, we'll go into that later.
Yeah, but that's on the horizon.
You could start at a much lower level. You could go to the college communities and tell people. I mean, that's where the enthusiasm really exists today. I mean, when I went to UCLA, it was just on fire for what's going on today.
Really?
People are totally, they're just reaching out, just looking for anything that's not gloom and doom.
Yeah, they're looking for really
looking for hope.
Yeah, they're looking for their heart.
They're looking for hope, heart, sure. and
spirit.
Well-being for everybody. We really are. There are people out there that are getting sick over this madness. I totally agree with you, Rico. Even me, I have to take steps. Just like we were talking earlier, you really sometimes you see such madness, you got to take a step back and go, oh, it's a bit overwhelming.
Well, it can be, because you know, we've come to the point where the world at large knows that we've got murderous pedophiles in our government, in our judiciary, in our legislative branch, and in various forms of local and regional law enforcement, and especially in the upper echelons of our military, primarily your Air Force and Navy.
Now I got a question to you. If you were to change somebody's mind, let's say it was a congressman, you go up to him and say, hey, you're a crook and a pedophile and an idiot, and I'm going to stand against you. That person I don't think is going to want to be
Shake
very nice.
Hands.
Yeah, so what I like this, you know, Ben Fullard's new email.
Benjamin Fullard,
right?
Yeah, you know where he's sending a kiss back to
David Rockefeller.
Right,
says,
right.
You know, I'm really sorry, blah blah. Again, I think on some level that we have to start looking at the people in positions of power
and appealing to them.
Not appealing to them. But you know, so many people are good people. They're just under a bad spell. You know,
I like that. There's a lot of bad people. They're just under a good people. Just under a bad spell. You know,
We need to look at what our common goals are, and not look at our differences. I think when we go into them and we're going at them with a combative attitude, of course we're looking for a fight.
Correct.
But if they go at them and say, "Listen, we're all humans. We're all suffering in some regard." How can we help each other?
Yeah.
And that's where we have to really extend our hand and say, what can I do to help?
We've all made mistakes. We're right there with you. Let's see if we can't work together. How can we help? Rico,
you know,
you're a bit of a politician.
I agree. You're right on. You know, I even said that in a gisty sort of way on the boards, basically that, you know, if David Rockefeller really wanted to do some good in the world and say, you know, I'm really going to turn things around and try to help. Now, could he do that openly? There's another thing. Is he powerful enough to do that openly?
Or does he think he is already? It's just the tactics that they've been using may not have been, you know, what everybody else thinks is the right way. Maybe ultimately in the man's heart, he truly feels on some level that the things that he's done will be a benefit to the masses.
I believe
now,
he does.
We see it. We are right.
I
agree with you. I agree. That's where I think we have to go at them, you know, and find the common cause. What's the common thread? Does he have a kid? Does he have a grandchild? Does he have a daughter? Does he have a wife? You know, who's being affected by this? If we can draw that conclusion and, you know, by placing this emphasis on somebody in his family or somebody that he loves or something he enjoys doing that in a couple of years he won't be able to enjoy. I mean, that's the only way that we can draw a common thread.
I agree that you're absolutely right. We should look towards those commonalities to give us some root.
Yes.
Well, you know, when you're talking of this kind of money and power and it's moving around from one area to the next, as you can see by his traveling, you begin, you know...
Why don't we have a spiritual think tank of 10 to 20 people together that really sit down with the major corporations and do like a Tony Robbins... you know how all these Fortune 500 companies were doing the Tony Robbins seminars?
Right.
Well, why don't they do that for these large companies? You got to bear in mind, a lot of these executives of large companies, they don't want to hurt the people. They don't want to do the wrong thing. And they cheer when somebody comes to them and tries to get them to do the right thing. It's just that if they start to do the right thing, they're fired and canned at the top.
Well, there's the key word, though. We're wanting to go to them. Why don't we make them come to us? Show them that we have a better way. I mean, and show them that, you know, by demonstration of what we have.
That's
and make them want it.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't want it, we're never going to be able to force it on them. But if they come looking for it, that's a different story.
Well, on some, I agree it's preferable when they do come looking. But on so many levels, these larger companies, they've got such a foothold in the world as it stands now. You're a smaller company. You could show them how to do it right. But I think on some level, these larger companies, they don't have the ethics as a part of the entity itself. Even though you might have 1,000 people that run the board, what's the understanding of a corporation is what's going to make more money. You know, the ethics may not even come into play. It's what's going to make more money. So on that level, I don't know if money says, I want to go out and speak to somebody else that can show me how to make more money. Because on so many levels, it being a crook in today's society, you make more money. I mean, honest work leads to, you know, great rewards. But how many honest, super wealthy people do we know? It's like Bill Gates. He might have had a great idea, great computers, get up, build a company. Now, what's the company want to do? It wants to create barriers to entry to new companies. Why? Because it wants to preserve itself. Why? Because it needs to make more money. So they pass laws that create more hardship on new entries to come into the technology. And this is what occurs. Now, it's not the fault maybe of Bill Gates, let's say.
Well,
this
happens. Why do you want Bill Gates then? Why aren't you tapping into those smaller companies that are being turned away?
That's right.
Well, you could. If on a mass movement level, I guess we could put our heads together, bring the money together and the focus together and really do that. But I think at this stage in the game, it would be nice to be able to just provide that service for free. Hey, if you're a company, let us sit down with your executives. We're going to give you a Tony Robbins seminar, and it's just going to change your life. And you have
I think it could start at a much more grassroots level. Start with the employees of that company. I mean, when I go around and I do talks about hypnosis in corporations, the first thing that I do is I ask, how are you making a difference in your company? Or what are you going to say to your CEO or to your vice president to bring this about in your office? You know, it can start very simple. You don't have to start with the CEOs. You can start at the general worker.
You're absolutely right.
You get enough of these people working and talking in unison and speaking the same tune, people are going to start listening.
I think if I was going to hit the first the employees of any companies, I think I'd go right after the legal organizations, all the lawyer organizations. That's probably where I'd want to start my madness. You know?
Well, you know, even Bill Gates talks to somebody in his company that's smaller on the chain. You know, there's always a smaller link. There's always somebody who brings in the coffee or somebody who's going to answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just Bill Gates who's running that company.
I would agree. I don't even know how much of it he's running right now. I would have to say after he went to Europe and met with the communication companies, AT&T and the others, and the government was crawling down his neck, I think a deal was met, because then all of a sudden the government was able to secure any patches and security patches a month in advance of anybody else. The Vista platform rolls out. The malicious software removal tool rolls out. It seems to be more of spyware than anything else. More and more badness is occurring. And Bill Gates says he's stepping down more, and he's doing less of the day-to-day work, and he disagreed with the release of the Vista platform, from what I understand. So, I mean, what's internally going on over there? I think that the criminals stranglehold on them.
Well, you know, you mentioned something earlier where you said that you believe that these higher officials have other ideas other than their businesses. Well, Bill Gates has made a clear example of that by just the Gates fund that he has where he's giving
Gates Foundation,
dollars.
The one with Buffett jumping in and sending all his beautiful money into?
Okay.
Warren Buffett?
Sure. I mean, I'm certainly tasting the salt in your tears. You know,
I remember way back when they were saying they were going to give away 90% or whatever, 85 or 90% of all their wealth and just leave a very little, and then all of a sudden it's going into a named foundation. It's under their name, and now they're funding endeavors on the moon to put seed vaults up. And America. So
I don't know.
I'm a little leery of it all now. At this point, I think that, personally, I think that Microsoft was compromised in an extreme way. And it's now, what does that mean? I don't know. Is there still great people behind it? I believe there is. I think all companies have great people, bad people. And I think, unfortunately, with some of the largest, more dominating corporations at the very top, they're stinking evil.
You know what? I'd like to think of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett as good guys. Warren Buffett actually came out with the idea, Donald, that there should not be dynasty wealth. Can you imagine if you're here? By the way, Rico, what do you think of this? Let's say you have billions and trillions of dollars, right?
And then you come out with the idea that there shouldn't
be
what?
You cannot pass on more than, let's say, $1 million to each of your kids before you die. All the rest must go, let's say, to charities or to something else. If you don't, so much of the wealth today, the empire building is done by family dynasties going back hundreds and hundreds of years. If we took that dynastic wealth away just by saying, from this point forward, dynasty wealth can't pass on, would that be a good thing?
I don't know if it's practical. I mean, how do you enforce this? I mean, first of all, they're the ones that control the wealth of the world.
Hell, I'd give all my money away before I died. I'd figure that one out in a heartbeat. That'd be easy to get around.
Yeah, I just think it would lead to so much good, though. How do you get something like that approved? I don't know. But I honestly believe that if people didn't have so much wealth, they'd grow up. Like, you see a lot of these people in Hollywood and in government, that they go to government, they've made nothing until they got into public office, and they make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then the same people in government seem to, they've known everybody for hundreds of years. They go back, you can trace their family lines. And I think it just becomes a way of being. When you get into that atmosphere, that's the only atmosphere you really know. And when you're surrounded by wealth, and when you're surrounded with people with the same thought system, same thought, you can't see beyond that thought system. So I think that wealth, mass wealth, passed on from generation to generation does no good for the people that get that money. I really believe this. I think Warren Buffett, it was a brilliant idea. I think it's probably one of the biggest problems that we have today is passing on huge wealth to our children. And then they don't really come up in the same way as the common person. So they don't understand our plight. They don't really care, I think, on some level. Not all of them, and maybe just a small percentage of them.
You know, that's well said. I didn't realize, I haven't put much thought into it. But, you threw that on me. It sounds good from here.
Hey.
But I'm not there.
It's just something Warren Buffett brought forth, and it made a lot of sense to me. So I don't like to ridicule Gates's and the Warren Buffett's.
I don't ridicule them. I don't like to either. You know, again, I think the major corporations, not the people. The real, I think they got corrupted.
It's the law. It's the system itself that's corrupt on many levels.
Right.
When the system starts, then it starts to allow for
it can be used, actually, legally, in a very unspiritual way. In other words, it doesn't have to conform to the spirit of the law anymore. It just, so you find even with what's on the books, it can be used for adverse situations.
Well, it's just like this. Put 1 million people on 1 acre of land. Sooner or later, they're going to kill each other for the food on it. The system doesn't work. The people aren't bad on the land. But the system is bust. So the system here is bust, and the Federal Reserve System is a bust. The idea of the energy that we're using now, that's a bust. So many ideas that are bust. And people, what's great? I really love this. I see this coming out where you have electric cars, you have water-powered cars, you have air-powered cars.
that whole new transition into new energy is going to shape and change the globe on many levels. I think even when it gets dire in, let's say, where you have your constitution being ripped apart, I think it's going to lead to, hopefully, even a stronger understanding of maybe a stronger constitution in the future, which really preserves those liberties even longer. Because it's not going to preserve them forever, is it?
So,
there is
so
no
why
system.
Why don't you make that the basis of your spiritual think tank?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you make that the basis of your spiritual think tank that you were talking about a minute ago? I mean, if you're going to incorporate all of these ideas, it's going to start with having a charter. You know, you got to write this stuff down and put it out for people to see and have people, you know, anyone who wants to join, come in, join our corporation. Sell shares.
We ought to get Rico living in paradise with us, Don. I'm sure he would be like a tornado along with us, you know?
No, gents, I've been looking at this for a while. I'm not as long as you guys, obviously. I'm 41, you know. I've just recently come to some, I guess you could call it an awakening, but, you know, I've always known who I am, but I never knew what I was meant to be. So I'm talking to you guys, and you guys have helped me really to find a lot of these answers. And many of them have been in front of me the whole time. I just had to open my eyes to see them.
Thank you. You know, that's really, I think, what it's all about, helping each other grow.
Rico, you're a fine man. 41 is a perfect age. You know, we're to be 40 here this December, both of us, Don and I. So, and for me, just to meet a person like yourself and know that there's people out there that can tune into this information and it's affecting them on a positive level, I got to tell you, you made my day, you made my week, you made my month. I'll be thinking about, you know, when I get emails and I get conversations that tell me some of the things that we're doing is making a difference, there's no greater high. There's nothing else I live for. Nothing.
Well, I look forward to talking to you guys offline. Definitely, truly, I really do want to talk to you. There's a lot of things that have been going through my mind, and I've been saying, oh, I've got to call Don.
Call me anytime. So, I'll be around. I'm always here.
Okay.
Absolutely. Rico with Camacho Hypnosis, Camacho Hypnosis.com. Rico, you're fantastic. Thank you once again for being a part of this.
Thank you. I hope you don't mind if I call you in, say, 15 minutes?
Oh, call me anytime. Ken, I'm always here.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank
Rico,
you.
It's a
Thank
pleasure.
You, Rico.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That's
All right.
Rico Camacho.
Hey,
Camacho,
what a hypnosis. Fine. Yeah, boy, I tell you, Don, he made my day. Really a fine gentleman. I look forward to getting to know him more in the future.
So do I. Rico, thank you. Folks, we have about another 5 minutes before we're going to have to close her down. What I did want you to really check out is some of the newer posts over on the TNT board. Why? Well, there's a couple of them you're going to find extremely interesting, and some of those are about the chemtrails and what they're finding out, some audio files, and some of the new video files may be on the BBSLA video page, TV page. There's some interesting stuff coming out. A lot of it sounds really dire, but then, you know, they're holding back the news of all the great things
are
that are occurring.
This last video, Don, where people in there were praising it and saying, you know, this is a good one. Here's a guy saying that Russia's terrible. We don't know what to do. They're the ones creating all the problems for us.
A lot of the media problems, some of the news problems.
Don. I don't really know. I don't like to take the understanding that I've got to make a country an enemy of myself.
Then he says,
"Oh my gosh, what are we going to do about Iran? Oh, another Iran want to shoot down." This is the same guy who says that scalar weaponry, all this information is sound, and you should listen to him because everything else out there is fairly bogus. Don, that last video I saw, I was pretty shocked. It was 99% fear-based, and it was it really wanted us to look at Iran and Russia in a different way, including Israel, maybe in the right way. So I don't really know.
Yeah, I know. All of it's got such a spin on it now. It's got a flavor, and it's coming out all over the
place.
When
something smells, and I don't like the flavor of it, like that last video, I can't say that this Clover-Dover understanding is the
name of it. We've known chemtrails are going on,
and
the military is a part of it because they're the only ones who can control the skies, and what's going on in our airspace. And I'll be darned if I'm going to hold,
I actually believe in that, and the fact that they're probably dispersing barium and salts. But all everything else, it's almost like it's being clouded by all this other information that he's bringing forth. Like, oh, I'm knowledgeable in this area, but you got to hate that person and that person and that person.
Hate everybody, folks. It's BBS Radio. We hate you.
I just can't stand it. You know what I mean?
You know, we do have a caller. No, the caller hung up.
Oh, well. Well, Don, I love you. I'm going to let you go. To everybody out there, you have my heart and my mind. We're at one. And, now, please read the Bible to self-awareness. It'll tune you in. Tune you up. Don, I love you.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
That was my twin brother, Douglas Newsom. And he's also my partner, one of the partners behind the corporation. Folks, we have another 2.5 minutes, but I haven't taken a break since we started, and so I'm going to run a few commercials on you. Tune in, sit back, relax. We have a fabulous program up next. That's Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True, and that's with the lovely Iris Jackson. That's a program you never want to miss, because that woman has more heart than everybody combined. She is just a magical woman. So stick around. Dreams do come true, folks.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.